If you live in Sydney, there's only one breakfast show worth listening to. A show that celebrities beg to be on. A show that knows Sydney better than it knows itself. A show you can't ignore. Unfortunately, Carl and Jackie are on holidays. So instead, you might as well listen to the Radio Chaser Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Sydney. Craig Rucastle's here. Charles Firth, Andrew Hansen. My name is Dom Knight. We are joined, as we will be, for the whole 2 weeks by our good friend, comedian Zoe Norton Lodge, as Craig says. A warm and wet day today in Sydney. Showers forecast, top of 29 in the west, 26 in the city. It is currently 20 in the city and 19 in the west. On the show today, have you been on a game show? We want to hear your story. We're going to take a look at the Aussie Space Program based in Adelaide. How good could it be? And our quest for our own beer continues. We've got Young Henry's on board. What will the beer be is the question.
Yes, and Charles, when we finished the show yesterday, you had to run off because you had to go to your child's recognition ceremony, which I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
But you were saying that every child in the school gets recognised.
Yeah.
Was that hell on earth?
It was hell on earth, and I'm pretty sure it's still going because it started at 9:15. I left 3 hours later at 12:15, and it was still going. There was still a couple more whole years that they had to get through. It was unbelievable.
So what happened? Seriously, every child gets up, and they what do?
They have to stand up, and then the teachers read out why they were so great this year and what they... And so for some kids, it's sort of like, excellence in mathematics. And you go, that's good.
Kids good at maths.
Yeah. But you can see very quickly the teachers have to start scraping the barrel for things to say about these.
How many got consistent attendance?
It's things like ability to make others smile was one. And then
stop it. That's nice.
Being a kind friend. There's one.
Charles, you could learn something from that one.
No, that's the kid that dropped his dax in class. And they were trying to get a positive spin with it. Oh, what happened? I guess a lot of the kids did smile when he constantly did that in class.
Yeah, with pity.
Then there's ones that where you just go, oh, this is something you could say about, a friend of yours. Like, enthusiasm in dance, like not being good at dance, it's enthusiasm
at dance. That is the award for being bad at dance, isn't it? Enthusiasm in dance.
You can go far. You can go far on a reality show with enthusiasm in dance.
Yeah.
For the effort she puts into her work. Like, it's not that she was any good at the work, but at least she puts effort into it.
Can I just say for any children listening this morning, I'm proud of all of you. I recognise each of your skills. I think they're all really beautiful things that you've done, and I'm proud of you.
I want to recognise Zoe for a really lovely patronising statement.
The one thing that they didn't ever hand out was excellence in playing the recorder, because halfway through, as if that torture wasn't enough, they started doing a recording recital.
Oh, God.
That was not even in time.
But you know what? I really think I want to recognise them for enthusiasm in recorder.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
And look, everyone today, interesting, talking about schools, because of course today the HSC results come out. People are getting their results. And of course, some people will be getting results for enthusiasm
in their HSC.
Exactly. It's good luck to everyone who is getting their results there. We hope that you remember that it doesn't mean a thing.
And we've got a special message indeed. If you got the results today, all the best.
A patronising message from the Education Standards Authority. As everyone knows, the rest of your life depends entirely on your Year 12 results. What you can do is all up to your ATAR score.
I got 99.95, but only because you can't get 100. What can I do?
You can spend the next year telling everyone you got 99.95 because you're too nerdy to have people skills.
I got 75. What can I do?
You can choose from a range of dreary tertiary courses.
What if a course needs more than 75?
Don't worry. You can still enter those courses by making sure your parents are rich and live in some other country.
Excuse me, but as someone with an ATAR score of 99.95, can I just
go
say...
Go away.
I got one of those stars they give you when the marks are too embarrassing to even write it down. Am I screwed?
Of course not. You can study arts. Or if you're a real ficky, you can be in charge of the Sydney Light Rail Project. Year 12 results. There's a depressing career for you, whatever mark you get.
Did I mention I got 99.95?
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
For summer breakfast, this is the radio show that gives away hams.
We're going to give away lots of hams later on. Yesterday I had to go on a really long drive to my parents' place, right? And when you go to the country, and nowadays every town has been bypassed, right? And there's only about two petrol stations or whatever you can go to. So I got a bit desperate after lots of coffee in the morning, and I stopped by the side of the road to have a pee. And which is, and I was there, and it was kind of, it was slightly closer to the city than I would ordinarily go. So there was still quite a lot of traffic. And I was, as I was doing it, I was thinking, is this illegal? Is it illegal? Like, I feel like you can pee by the side of the road, right? Yeah. So I was thinking, this is totally fine to do. Later on last night, when I came back in the city, I came out of the supermarket, like in the suburbs, and there was a guy peeing by the side of the road. And I was like, this filthy animal. Yeah. Who is this filthy animal peeing by the side of the road? And it's just, it made me think, okay, is there a law? Like, is it actually legal to do? Or is it, can you, in the country, I felt like it was the most natural thing to do.
Yeah.
It was fine. See a guy doing in the city. And
is there a boundary?
Lock him up.
Well, whether or not it's legal, I mean, you've got to ask yourself, Craig, is it a feminist move? If I can't pee by the side of the road, should you pee by the side of the road?
Well, that's true. It's a lot harder for women, isn't it? I mean, this is it, because I did feel like as cars were going past that that maybe it should be illegal. And maybe I should have faced away from the road.
But when you need to pee, you need to pee.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the law comes into it. Like, you have to.
Isn't there that law of, like, what's it called?
What?
Illegal peeing?
Don't you guys have any self-control? Do you know one time I held pee from Sydney to Byron?
What?
Jeez. What?
No.
Why? Why would you do such a thing?
In a water bottle? Or
inside the bladder. I held on to it. Reason, each stop it wasn't going to work. And I just think you guys should exercise some self-control. It's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, then I hadn't thought about this. It's incredibly sexist that I even went for a wee.
Well, but also, isn't there an issue, a separate issue, which we've run into before in the Chaser, about taking out your bits in public?
Yeah, well, this is it. That's the thing is, because there's illegal exposure or something.
Yeah. Indecent exposure, I think.
Indecent exposure.
Might have been involved in charges on that front at one
exactly. point. Exactly. So I'm mystified. I know that you guys are not the best people to answer, but do you think it's legal?
Speaking as a lawyer, which I am not, yes, I advise everyone that it's completely legal. Yeah,
good.
And you should be able to do it anywhere. Like, it's your... Like,
you should be able to do it anywhere.
Yes.
Excuse me, sir, this is Woolworths. Look, yes. I have a God-given right to wee here.
There's a small electrical fire starting in the Triple M studio right now. There's a lot of pee that I can see on the ground.
That's what the smell is.
Let's just go to the phones on this one. 333-53. Do you reckon you can pee in public? I mean, who knows? Certainly, I lived in a building once where everyone took the view that, yes, you could pee on the front of the building when you walked out in the morning. 133-53. And look, I've got a ham here. The most convincing argument gets a ham.
I do apologise if I've peed on that ham.
Now, Craig Rucastle has raised an important question. Can you go to the bathroom in public? And where can you? Is there a line between the city and the country?
I've actually solved this during the break, which is if there's a tree... I think you're allowed to do it.
That was
like, if there's a tree in the woods,
yeah.
Can you pee on the tree?
As a kid, though, that was like, Mum was always like, I'll just go over to a tree and, you know, I don't even see you.
No, that's wrong. Again, I think you're wrong, Charles, because when I went on the Christmas tree in Maya, they were very annoyed about it. That cannot be right. Let's get
what about if a dog can go there, a human can go there. Does that work?
Oh, that's a great rule just for life in general. You know?
Let's go to the phones and see what you think. Luke in Hunters Hill, good morning. Where can you pee? What's the rule?
Guys, it's very simple. For those of us who drive a lot and do a lot of high miles, as soon as there's streetlights, as soon as the streetlights go out, you go for your life. But as soon as the streetlights come in, that's civilization. Even the rest areas that have got all the streetlights, they have a toilet.
Yes.
But, yes, as soon as you hit that, the streetlights stop. It's free tenure for everyone.
Now, hang on a second. Are you saying this is kind of like the rule amongst society, or are you saying this is the actual law?
No. This is those of us who drive a lot, like truckies or people who do high miles and that. Yeah, it's just like as soon as the streetlights stop, bang, go for your life.
Do you find yourself, if you're really busting and there's streetlights, like throwing stones at the streetlights so that they go out
just
so you can pee?
Just stand in front of your own lights and do it. Just stand in front of your own lights.
This is why you see cars that have run into street poles.
Yes!
trying to create a toilet.
Whereas my dog pisses on every street light. Yeah. Anyway, Eric in Sydney, what do you think the rule is? Hello, Eric.
Hello, Eric.
Just had.
Yo, sorry.
What do you reckon the rules should be, mate?
Okay, I'm not a lawyer. However, there is an archaic law that has never been repealed, which allows you to go to the toilet on the rear left-hand tyre of your vehicle.
Really?
Wow. I have heard of this law. I have heard of this law. Do you think it's a real law? Because when I first read that, I thought that's just balls.
No, it is a real law. It's still there. There's also a law that says you must have a man walking in front of your vehicle in Sydney waving a flag, which has never been repealed.
I like that there's
cars and things first came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that there's an ancient law that refers to cars, so that's quite a good
Exactly. It's actually on your horse-drawn buggy.
So you
can pee in your own car. I'm less thrilled by that idea. Like, I'd rather pee on the tree, as I did yesterday, than pee on my own car. It's also that it feels like you're more facing the traffic. So I don't know. Look, as much as I like the fact that, I mean, look, should we give a ham to Eric?
Because I think Eric deserves a ham. Yes, definitely a primo ham. Make Christmas worth remembering with a primo Christmas ham on the bone. Can you maybe get someone with a flag to walk along in front of you if you're going to pee in public?
And look, if anybody knows how ladies can pee in public, if they don't have a shiwi on them, then please let me know. Just asking for a friend.
We'll check with the cops later in the show. In the meantime, here's David Bowie on Triple M. This is Radio Chaser for Breakfast.
The Philosophy Department of Cambridge University, in association with Triple M, presents The Ethical Dilemmas
of a 10-year-old.
Yeah, so this was about all the dilemmas that my 9-year-old, Hartley, poses to me during the week. But he turned 10, so we had to change the intro.
Seamless edit.
Yeah.
Did you know
a different voice? No, it's good.
Okay, first one. So I'm going to pose some dilemmas to the panel, and you have to solve them. The first one, Craig.
Yes.
This one comes from Hartley. Would you prefer to go without any ability to keep track of time or without chicken? This is honestly something he posed to me yesterday.
I would definitely have chicken over time. Like, I, you know.
So that was my answer as well, right?
I don't barely know what time it is anyway. I mean, Dom's time calls in this show, I never know what time it is, probably.
No, but Hartley's point was, but what about duck? You can always just eat duck, and then you also get the...
I thought you were saying, what about duck? The duck will tell you the time.
So are you enjoying hosting evenings on Triple M right now?
Yeah, I don't care. Look, who cares what time of the day it is as long as you can eat chicken? That's that old Chinese saying.
I'll start the next break with, I don't know what the time is. I chose the chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm happy with the choice.
I mean, it's a very realistic scenario.
I
love that he thinks a duck is sort of interchangeable with a chicken. I mean, what's on the menu at your place? Do you have like chicken nuggets one night and duck nuggets the next night?
Duck nuggets.
That sounds really rude for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. Duck nuggets.
Okay, next one. So this one is a contribution from a listener. Meg, my 10-year-old, posed this question while we were swimming in the pond this afternoon. Would you rather be in a pool with no arms or no legs? Andrew?
Is that my choice? No arms or no legs?
Yeah.
Oh, like, in a pool?
Yeah.
Am I at the deep end, I assume? Well, you've got to keep the legs, don't you? Because at least you can sort of kick around desperately and try.
How do you climb out of the pool, Hanson? How do you climb out of the pool?
With your legs. By flinging one leg really hard up on the ladder.
Side question, can you have floaties?
No.
Oh, that's just cheating.
I reckon Andrew's made the wrong call because if your legs and you didn't have arms, you're just constantly, your head would go into the water. I reckon you need your arms, definitely.
No, but you could jump. See, if you had legs, Rucastle, right, you could sink down to the bottom and then jump right up to the top, take a breath, and then sink down. But
if you had arms, you'd never have to sink to the bottom, idiot.
Yes, you would, because you'd have no legs.
Have you ever done breaststroke?
You can't do breaststroke with no legs, Rucastle. Yeah. Listen to the 10-year-old.
There's a challenge. I'm going to challenge you. We're going to go to a pool. We're going to cut off your arms and my legs and see who does better.
It's on. Okay, next one. Last one. Zoe, would you prefer to die slowly in a tsunami or die slowly in a fire? Which one?
I'll definitely take the tsunami.
Really? Why?
Because I believe that you start to hallucinate and kind of go into a dream state if there's water involved. Plus, it's a tsunami. Who knows what amazing objects might be flying in my direction? It might be kind of fun.
And would you do that with or without legs?
104.9 Sydney's Triple M. Now, guys, amazing news. There's another leadership spill on a Prime Minister in trouble, only not in Canberra.
Oh.
This one's in the UK. Theresa May, everyone's voting about whether they want to kick her out or not.
They're going to get rid of her. She's had a bad run. Look, not only is everything going wrong politically, I reckon the reason they're getting rid of her is, did you see the fantastic vision of, she's gone to visit the German Chancellor.
Oh, yeah.
And she couldn't get out of the car. Like, the car pulls up. Mm. Chancellor's standing there. And it took, like, three British officials to open the door of a car.
Mm.
That is dumb. I mean, if you can't get out of the car, you're not fit to run a country.
Yeah. She had the child lock on. Do they put that on for her?
That's
probably why.
So that probably just so she didn't escape.
They might kick her out at this meeting, and then she can't actually work out how to exit the Prime Minister's office.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is. I mean, a lot of people hassle ScoMo, but one thing you can say about that guy is he can always get out of a car door.
Mm. Yeah.
That's about it.
And that is literally the best thing about him. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Shorten probably couldn't.
Yeah. But look, it is Australia's gift to the world, though, isn't it? I mean, apparently they don't even have the word spill. Like, they're trying to cover this in the UK without knowing the word that we use.
Mm. I think Australia needs to send a delegation over to the UK to tell them how to properly run a spill.
Yeah, exactly. How to knife somebody in the back.
Yeah, because, you know, just having one prime minister be, you know, it should be like five prime ministers in 5 years.
Exactly.
It should be,
it's a disgrace.
Yeah.
Get rid of them.
Yeah. I reckon a whole ad campaign's needed. In fact, I've put one together. Let's have a listen.
Dad, the Brits have given us tea, crumpets and repressed emotions, but what have we ever given them?
Oh, I know, love. Sometimes it feels like we've got nothing to give back to the mother country, but the Brits are about to overthrow their Prime Minister. And where do you think they got such a notion?
New Zealand?
That bleeding heart island.
I think it's two islands, Dad.
You bloody dingus. They got the idea from us.
Really?
Yes, chucking out PMs is the most Australian thing in the world.
Even more than glassing a bastard?
Even more than glassing a bastard.
Wow, thanks, Dad. One day I want to chuck a PM.
That's me, boy.
I'm a girl.
Radio Chaser on Sydney's Triple M. Radio Chaser Summer Breakfast. Now with 10% more fibre to keep it regular. 104.9 Sydney's Triple M.
Yes, indeed. Andrew Hanson, Craig Rucastle, Charles Firth and Dom Knight, along with our mate Zoe Norton Lodge. Now, we've been hunting for people across Sydney this week. We've already found people who've ordered on Demtel, people who've been bitten by a wild animal. What will it be today? It's also, you can potentially win a 5K home entertainment pack, including a Heos wireless multi-room music system for The Predator on 4K, Blu-ray, DVD and digital, available now. The hunt has evolved. So like in the movie The Predator, about an intergalactic hunter, we are hunting for things across Sydney.
Yes, we're not exactly using an intergalactic hunter, but you know what we'd be keen to hear from today is people who've been on a TV game show.
Mm.
Who've actually been on a TV game show? Like, what's it like? Is it as it is on television, or is it rubbish?
Well, you know what? I haven't actually been on a game show, but I did do work experience on a little known game show called Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
In what era? Who was the host?
Oh, do you know, I actually can't remember.
Was it Baby John Burgess back in
the golden days of the moustache? No, it wasn't John Burgess. This was in the year 2000, so it was whoever was hosting in the year 2000.
Tony Barber.
Might have been Barber. Anyway, a couple of insider little tidbits that I gleaned from this. One of them, the wheel is actually tiny. It's a lot smaller than you would expect. And if you spin it too fast, the triangles fall off. So they actually request at the beginning that you spin it quite slowly, right?
And then, I can't believe after all of those years they didn't go hang on. Why don't we just glue the triangles on harder?
There should be a rule.
Oh, you got to pick them up, don't you?
If all the triangles fly up, if you completely clear the wheel, $1 million.
Yeah, you get through.
Look, it was an imperfect Wheel of Fortune, but the best little insider knowledge that I got from there is that this is obviously days before the internet, before things got around. There was actually quite a long period where the surprise triangle was spelt incorrectly. It was missing an R. So how's that for some trivia for you?
Wheel of Fortune.
That's great.
Surprise. It was a surprise. surprise triangle.
Surprise. So, well, if you've been on Wheel of Fortune or any other game show. Oh, hang on. I just realized Chaz has been on game shows.
Several.
So, yeah. So if you've been on a game show and you're not Chaz, Chaz, you're not allowed to call in. Mm. Give us a call and you can win all those amazing prizes.
Yes, Chaz line's open now. 1-3-3-5-3, Sale of the Century, Wheel of Fortune, even Family Feud, whatever it is. We want to hear your stories. Brian in Bankstown. Hey, Brian.
How are you?
What was your game show experience?
Perfect Match, yeah.
Perfect Match. Oh, great.
Yeah, it was a setup from the boys at work. By the time I realised it was a setup, I'd already committed to go to the station.
What did they tell you you were doing?
Oh, no, it was, they always used to play pranks. And, like, you come back from work and there's a call to ring Mr. G. Rath, and it turned out it's Taronga Park Zoo.
That goes and, okay.
Yeah, so I just thought it was one of them, someone else on another end of the phone. But it turned out Dexter was, I was supposed to be the perfect match of the, I think it was about 80%.
Oh,
but
yeah.
she chose someone else. Oh. And they went away on a beautiful holiday out in a little tropical island that had only seven couples allowed on the island at once. And turtles coming up on the beach, was, they had a wonderful time until they got back and she hated him and said he was a prick. And
should have gone with Dexter.
Should have gone with
Dexter.
All I got was a box of chocolates.
There you go. I like the fact though that you tell us that you know the whole holiday. It's like you've lived that holiday in your head as if she'd chosen the right guy.
I did live it in my head.
That's
can't
a great
get it, you're able to fake it.
That's a great story, Brian. I'm sorry it didn't work out. Danielle's in Sutherland. Hey Danielle.
Hi,
what's your game show story?
I've been on The Chase Australia, Millionaire Hot Seat and Think Tank.
Wow.
Extraordinary.
Have you won anything?
I got a consolation prize of a mug and some jelly beans from Think Tank, and that's about it.
What riches. Wow.
I mean, they were yummy, if I help.
They were yummy. So do you just like the experience of going on game shows, or you really want to win something? You really need more mugs?
I mean, money never goes astray, does it? But, it's fun. It's something to do. It's an experience, and they're all completely different. So they're all good for the different reasons.
That's great. Okay. Hold on the line there, Danielle. We've also got Paul from Terrigal. Paul, what game show have you been on?
Family Feud.
Family Feud. How was that?
Yeah, no, it was great. No, it was great. Danielle, great guy.
Is it more awkward with your family, though, than being on a TV?
Oh, yeah, it can be at times. It depends on what the question is, you know. I know my daughter was real impressed with some of my risque answers.
And what did you win?
We ended up winning, we won the car. We won about $30,000.
Jeez, oh, wow. So you've got a good family. Can I borrow your family if I go on Family Feud?
Sure, no worries.
That's very good. Look, thank you for those calls. Very interesting. You know what I reckon we should do with the prize, though? I think we should give it to Danielle. Because she's gone on so many game shows and only got a mug out of it.
Yeah, that does seem reasonable. Danielle, you are in the draw to win the 5K home entertainment pack. It includes a Heos wireless multi-room music system for The Predator on 4K Blu-ray, DVD and digital. It's available now because the hunt has evolved. You also get a copy of The Predator. So congratulations. We've at least given you something. You've got a big chance tomorrow of taking out the full prize.
Fantastic. Thank you for beautiful the opportunity.
Work. We're rooting for you, Danielle.
It's Radio Chaser on Triple M. I want you just the way
you are. I haven't heard that one for a while. Not since, about an hour ago when I last played it for you. Triple Smooth FM. Your easier place to relax and get sedated. You've probably been running around all morning, maybe doing a bit of shopping, picking some things up for dinner tonight. Sometimes you've just got to stop and take a breath. Maybe pop into one of those Thai massage places. I know when I'm feeling a bit stressed and overworked, there's nothing I like more than going into a dubious establishment on George Street and getting a full body massage from an illegal immigrant. It's important to treat yourself every now and then, isn't it? So, wherever you might be getting a hand job right now, let me help you relax even more with the wonderful Billy Joel. Don't go changing to try and
please me. Cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
Yes, the segment where we take a bunch of news stories and I ask our panel whether they are cat's pajamas, meaning a good thing, or cat's piss, meaning a bad thing. The first one is a local story here from Marrickville.
We really could have called this segment Good or Bad.
We tried that. We thought it would go something more interesting. Now, there is a club in Marrickville where you can do axe throwing. They put a target at the end of the room, and you actually get an axe, and you throw the axe at the target. It's kind of like playing darts.
Yeah, I know this place. Great.
Here's the question. Should they get a liquor license?
Well, this is the thing, because this is right near a brewery, and their one rule up until now has been, you can't be too drunk to throw the axes. I reckon this is Cat's Pajamas. It's fantastic. Finally, you'll be able to be out in the open about how drunk you are when throwing an axe.
Look, I think this is Cat's Pajamas, as long as you can bring your kids as well to the whole experience. Because I can't see anything going wrong with that.
Yeah. No. Does it change your opinion if the place is actually advertised as Maniacs?
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's called Maniacs, an axe throwing place. Yes.
And their one rule was that you can't be drunk, and they've since gotten rid of that rule.
Yeah. This is
interesting.
It's amazing this has gotten through.
Well, they're asking the council. So, in fact, the council's going to rule whether it's Cat's Pajamas or Cat's Piss. We'll get back to you on that if they decide. Now, in South Korea, a moisturizing mask that looks like the face of Kim Jong-un is very popular. It's called a reunification moisturizing mask. Have a look at that. You can see it's actually his face. And it says, you know, great moisturizing for people in the north and the south. What do you think? Would you put on a Kim Jong-un moisturizing mask?
I would in a flash. I think that's Cat's Pajamas, because the whole thing that I think of when I see his face is how lovely and moist and juicy he looks. Like, don't you think he just looks like he's got great skin? I think this product must work wonders.
I'm just a bit confused in what sense this moisturising mask actually does look like, this particular leader, because a mask, when you think about it, it's usually just a sort of a white thing that just gets splotted over a face. So what are the features of his that they've added to it?
Well, it's his face. It's got the sort of pudgy cheeks and the self-satisfied grin and the sort of look as though he might blow you up at any point.
Yeah, so it's quite a good look. It doesn't look like him. It's just that you become a dictator and everyone starves around you when you have the mask on. That's the mask.
All right, final story here. It's a Christmas trend, and it's called a festive bum wreath. What you do is you get a pair of tights, you cut a hole in the tights so your ass cheeks are hanging out, and then you decorate around it as though it was a Christmas wreath. It's kind of imagine a circle of baubles around a hole in tights that shows your ass cheeks. Is that something you're going to wear on Christmas Day?
Well, I don't know why people are calling this new. I've been doing this for years.
Well, I'll only wear it if I team it up with the Kim Jong mask.
Yeah. I can't imagine this going down badly in your average workplace at all.
I think they should actually install one of these guys in the Marrickville axe-throwing place, and you aim for the slot between the cheeks, and that's their Christmas party.
It's 7:41 on a cloudy but hot day here in Sydney. Radio Chase with you for breakfast.
Now, remember on Monday, we were talking about that study that if you eat a Lego head, it takes 1.7 days to go all the way through.
Yeah, there was the one with the actual, it was done by pediatricians who actually put it in a journal.
Yeah.
Yeah, the average was 1.7 days. Yes.
Yeah, it goes all the way through you and out the other end. Well, I was going through my kid's bedroom last night and I came across their Lego box.
No.
And I found myself sorely tempted to just bite the head off one of their minifigures.
Why have you got five Lego men, Charles? Yes. What are you thinking?
I have five Lego men here. I think we should all do it. I think what we should do is we all eat a head of a Lego man now.
Yes.
And we see how long it takes.
Hold on. Didn't pediatricians sort this out for us? Don't we have this on the record? Why do we have to do this?
Yeah, well, that was pediatricians. Like, how quickly does it go through idiots?
Yeah. And this is science, Zoe. You want to sort of check the study.
I just don't think this was in my contract when I agreed to come on this show with you guys.
Exactly. Anyway, but the point is, I told Angus that we were going to do this, and he was not impressed with this idea that we were going to
pull
out his... So we have to promise to give them back.
No.
Okay? Can I just say one thing?
Stop it.
I love this story, right, of the pediatricians until it got to the part where... And I hadn't thought this through. Like, how do you get the data that they had to go through the poo? I'm willing to swallow a Lego head.
Okay.
But I am not going to check my poo. So if I am...
Who is? It's not going to be me, Craig.
I'll get Andrew to check, yeah.
But, no, no, Craig.
So if I don't become aware of it when it's coming out,
yeah,
it's well, this is lost to science.
Can you just do a passing glance? Because I'm sure it'll float to the top. Glance.
They're very bright. The good thing about them is they're bright yellow, right?
Do you want to take the bearded one, Craig? You can be first. Come on.
This is ridiculous.
Come on.
The beard. I hate beards.
Down the hatch.
Down the hatch. There we go.
Are
you choking?
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I guess maybe all the kids will be doing this. You know, end of HSC. Yeah,
not as bad as the Tide Pods I did.
So do you want the evil one? You want to do the evil one?
Can I just say, though, guys, that I already actually gave birth once this year. I don't really need to be checking any heads coming out again. I feel like I've done my dash.
Should you get the doctor there for the moment as well?
Can I at least call the obstetrician in?
The Lego man's crowning.
Okay. You don't want to have a Caesar on this one.
Here we go. Which one do you... Oh, we've got two women and a man left.
You know what I like? One of them has a giant bit of hair. Can you take the hair off?
No, I'm going to need to do protective glasses for my own safety. This guy's got protective glasses. You know how there are those civets that swallow coffee beans and they're worth more? What do you think these Lego heads are going to be worth after they've gone through our system? Yeah.
Here we go, bottoms up.
There you go, Dommy. Okay. Now, Dom finds it hard to swallow anything, don't you? Or like tablets. How did you go with the Lego man, Dommy?
Huge amount of water and it just straight down the hatch.
Okay.
Didn't touch the sides.
Here we go. I'm going to do mine. Oh, my goodness.
Take it.
They're quite large, aren't
they? All right, me too. I'll do mine.
Here we go.
Okay.
Hold on. I just realized I've been cheated. My one's dark. I won't be able to see it. I'll really have to sift through. That is so unfair, you guys.
We will update you when they come out the other end. It's Radio Chaser on Triple M. Radio Chaser with you on Triple M for summer breakfast. Craig Rucastle, Charles Firth, Andrew Hansen. My name is Dom Knight and Zoe Norton Lodge with us as well.
No, you can't call her Zoe Norton Lodge because a radio person here said that your name's too long, Zoe. Apparently, you've got to choose out of your names. You know, you can't be Zoe Norton Lodge. Are you Norton or are you Lodge? Like, pick one.
Well, maybe I should combine. What about Nudge?
Nudge. Oh. Now, see, that's a good radio name,
yeah.
Actually.
Oh, what about Nolo? What about Zonolo?
It's pretty good. Sounds like Zonolo. A sleeping depression pillow.
That's more of a radio name. Yeah. But look, I mean, none of us have particularly good radio names, especially you, Charles. I mean, Charles, that's the name of a bloody prince.
Charles. Charles. Hello, Charles. Yeah, it's Charles. True. I must admit, I hate my name. I think Craig is one of the ugliest names on earth.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
I feel like it's quite radio, though. Brekkie with Craig.
Yeah. Craig.
Because I always associate the name Craig with a sort of dickhead. So it sort of does suit you.
That's true. Maybe we can use my middle name, Bruce.
Brucey.
Yeah. That's radio. Yeah. Well, anyway, look, the bosses have told us, guys, I don't know if you've seen the memo this morning, but they've had to completely rebrand this entire Radio Chaser show. And we've actually got a new promo to sell the new version of the show. Take a listen.
All this week, wake up to the Radio Chaser Breakfast Crew. Now with FM-friendly nicknames.
What's wrong with Craig, Dom, Zoe, Charles and Andrew?
Those names are too long and posh. Instead, welcome Crunchy, Dogsy, Chuckster, Dumbo and the Donkey Man.
I hope I'm not Dumbo.
I hope I am the Donkey Man.
Wait a minute. Even those names are too long and posh. So we're giving every host the exact same easy-to-relate-to nickname.
Welcome to the show. I'm Boffo, and joining me are Boffo, 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 and Boffo.
How was your weekend, Boffo?
Oh, great, thanks, Boffo. I hung out with Boffo.
To make things even easier, we're referring to all our callers as Boffo as well.
Yeah, let's go to Boffo. He's on the line from the suburb of Boffo.
Love the new crew, guys. My favourite one's Boffo.
Oh, you're very kind, Boffo.
Thanks. Yeah, Boffo.
Radio Chaser with Boffo, 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 and Boffo.
What happened to the fifth Boffo?
He got fired because his name was too hard to remember.
Radio Chaser on Sydney's Triple M.
Yes, with Andrew, Craig, Charles, Dom and our very good friend Zoe. Coming up on the show, we're making our own beer. Young Henry's is getting on board, but what flavour should it be? And a look at the Aussie space program headquartered in Adelaide.
And you know those Elf on a Shelf toys?
I've just become aware of this whole thing. It's weird. So you put an elf on a shelf, and the whole idea is that the whole year the kids think they're being watched And is the giving back the information to Santa? Is that the whole idea?
Yeah, so your kids behave themselves because they're being watched by the Christmas elf.
Isn't that the whole same idea as those kind of Google things and Amazon? Is you being watched the whole year by somebody else?
Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
It's like how the council puts CCTV in the street so that people won't urinate on things.
Oh, I thought that was that. I thought you were saying that the council did that so Santa knew if you were being naughty or nice.
Santa has access to those feeds as well.
Anyway, point is, a man in the US has listed himself on Craigslist, which is like Gumtree, offering himself up as your very own elf on a shelf, where he will personally go and sit on a shelf in your house, like during a party or whatever, and just stare blankly.
Yeah. Who would want that?
Yes, exactly. It's like, this is a weird, who wants a weird stranger to sit on this shelf in their house?
Will you pay me to be the creepiest person on the planet in your house?
Yeah. Well, no, apparently he's doing quite well. He's charging $100 an hour for the service. No, and it's working. Anyway, point is, I want to do that here. I'm going to set up my own business. I want to be the elf on the shelf of Australia. So, actually, if there's anyone out there who's got an office party.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to do it. A Christmas party.
Christmas party this week, or like next week.
Yeah.
I will come to your office party dressed as an elf, and I'll stare blankly. I might get a bit drunk. And, yeah, so I think I might need payment in alcohol as well as. How much should I charge, do you reckon?
What's the minimum wage at the moment?
It's like $18 an hour.
Okay, well, you're probably not quite up to that. I'd say $17 an hour. Okay.
This is quite a serious offer I'm gathering, Charles. 133353. You could stand over the punch bowl and make sure that nobody spiked it and then maybe drink what they're going to spike it with.
If you want, alternatively, you could pay me to prevent Charles from showing up at your Christmas party, which I'm quite prepared to do.
That's like $20 for that service. Yeah. So I'll just be elf on a shelf.
So you're going to be dressed as an elf.
I'll dress up as an elf and I'll come to your office party. And, stare blankly. I'll sit on a shelf.
Now, hang on. You know how in our radio training they said you can't say ring now and win $1 million because then you've got to give them $1 million?
No.
Are you actually saying that if people ring now 133353, you will genuinely go to their Christmas party dressed as an elf and sit on a shelf?
Yeah, but they've got to pay me $17.
Okay. Yeah. Look, please somebody ring and do this because I just want to see the photo.
Yeah.
I just want to see Charles have to do this.
I will give you the $17 to make Charles do it. It's Radio Chaser on Triple M. 133353. We'll just take the calls off air and we'll get back to you if he actually goes and does it.
It's a good business. It's going to work.
Get back on your shelf, Firth.
Yeah, and you see, we talked about this yesterday, the fact they're opening a space agency in Adelaide. Do you reckon Australia needs to go into space? Like, we've just closed down our car industry, right? I don't feel like we're ready for space.
No, Craig, we need Aussie space rockets because, you can't expect Australians to go in American or Russian space rockets. You need Australian space rockets if you're going to send Australians into space.
And you don't want to go in a Russian space rocket right now because, I don't know if you guys have seen, but Russian cosmonauts have actually found a small hole in a spacecraft that they cannot rule out that deliberate interference was made in space.
Somebody's accidentally drilled a hole in a spacecraft.
Yes.
That seems like a bad thing to be in space with a hole in your craft.
Absolutely. So give it to the Aussies. Let us have a go. We wouldn't put holes in rockets.
No.
Zoe, we would, Zoe. We're obsessed with DIY. This is the country of Bunnings.
Yes.
Aussie astronauts are going to be drilling stuff into the walls. It's going to be a disaster.
It'd be Scott Cam or get just some people from Australia around to build their own rocket.
You do make a good point. If we have an Australian spaceship, you could have the first sausage sizzle in space. Imagine that.
But it'd be terribly dangerous if there were onions.
That's true.
It'd be like the Challenger.
You could use the onions to plug up the hole, maybe. We should pass that on to Russia.
Yeah, I'm not quite convinced that Australia's in the position to build its own rockets.
Oh, no, I completely disagree. In fact, they've actually put an ad out for the first Aussie rocket.
Australia, your space program is now open.
The new Aussie space rocket is specially designed for Australian space conditions. It's the first interstellar craft that doubles as a ute, featuring extra-large mud flaps for the muddy outback of Australian space.
Ooh.
An all-kangaroo leather interior, including personalised fluffy dice to hang on the rear vision mirrors, plus high-tech digital radio where every channel plays Chisel and only Chisel. Our
Holden V8 jet engine gets 80,000 light years to the gallon.
Oh, it even takes E10.
The Aussie space rocket, because it would be weird to use a foreign rocket.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser here for Summer Breakfast, continuing our quest for our very own beer.
When you've got a breakfast radio show, you need a stupid piece of merchandising you can release to make some quick bucks.
I like beer, yes, we like beer.
That's why Radio Chaser's very own beer is now brewing.
So Young Henry's from Newtown, that wonderful brewing company, has agreed to come on board and make us a beer, but we've got to choose what flavour it should be.
Flavour, yeah. Seeing that thing suggests that we're going to sell it, I was just going to drink it. But I guess
we're supposed to be selling it.
No, I think we should try and sell it.
Okay.
We should definitely try and sell
it. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, but, so what are the suggestions we got here?
Well, look, let's have a listen to the adventure so far, and some of the suggestions are in this little bit of audio.
Beer! Beer, beer, beer!
Wouldn't it be nice to make our own beer?
Our own beer.
Yeah, because, you know, breakfast shows do crazy things.
We've got to have it. We've got to have our own beer. We've got to get something out of this 2 weeks.
We want to have our own original beer.
Nowadays, everything seems to be elderberry or some kind of hipster beer.
Some of the ideas when I went out on the streets, they didn't like.
Yes.
Butter chicken beer. Nobody went for that. Head-only beer, where you just have the foam and not the beer itself.
Yeah. Beer!
Oscar McMahon is on the line from Young Henry's.
Oh,
you know
great.
That beer from Newtown that's in all the pubs?
I love Young Henry's. If you could make us a beer, that would be really good. Something that goes down well at 9 a.m. when we finish work.
The idea of beers for breakfast is not foreign to the brewery at all.
Is it too far off to have a beer-flavoured beer? Is that just too wild nowadays?
That's not a bad idea. We could make a beer, simmer that down, make sort of like a beer consomme, and then inject that into a new beer.
We'll try and come up with it idea that's good enough for Young Henry's to make, and we'll get back to you soon about that, okay?
Yeah, I reckon we can get something going together.
So a beer brainstorm in place. Young Henry's is going to make it. We've just got to choose what beer it is.
I like the beer idea. I think some of the listeners have called in with some different ideas. We've got crevice beer. What is crevice beer?
I think the idea is that you kind of, we're talking about a beard beer that actually exists where you take a little yeast swab from someone's beer. That actually exists. And it's from a crevice on the body. So a little bit of it's basically crack beer.
Oh, yeah, plumber's crack beer. That would be, God, Charles is around. He's always showing his plumbers, so we could get it easily.
As the only woman here, I just have to say, yeast and crevice beer means something else.
Okay, that's a very good point. A
few options on that if we go with that one.
We also had somebody suggest that cat's pyjamas, cat's piss beer. So you've got a mixture. Some taste like cat's pyjamas, some taste like cat's piss. I don't know if cat's pyjamas is a real thing. Have you ever tried to put a cat in a pyjama?
And licked
it? They jump around a lot.
They really hate that kind of thing, I found.
So that want to be a two-pack of a sort of horrible beer and a good beer.
We've also, look, breakfast, because we're wanting to drink this very early in the morning, the suggestion, I think a really good suggestion, of coffee in beer.
Yes.
Coffee beer, I like that idea. I mean, let's face it, Australia has an addiction to caffeine.
Yes.
If you put coffee and beer together, like, that's everything sorted.
But won't it cancel each other out a bit, like a stimulant and a depressant?
No, that's the good thing, is it means you can stay up longer and drink more beers.
It does sound good, but the one that I like, and it's my favourite pizza as well, is the Meat Lovers. The Meat Lovers beer sounded fantastic. Just get a bunch of different meat flavours in there and barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce in a beer, how good would that be?
We might put this on Facebook or Twitter or something so people can vote.
Yeah,
we'll get its final one. I think we've got to tell Young Henry's by tomorrow so they can start brewing.
Yes.
And particularly, hopefully it's not crevice beer, in which case they have to start brewing and start collecting.
So the big announcement tomorrow, which beer will we get to make? Find out by listening in tomorrow here on Triple M.
Want a new set of old wheels for summer? Head on down to your local dodgy car yard and pick up a 1983 Crapola today. Featuring four wheels.
With three functioning tyres.
Power steering.
Powered by your own arms.
And free air.
If you wind down the window.
Plus, we'll throw in a state-of-the-art sound system.
That's a radio cassette deck that's stuck on Thai community radio.
Keyless entry.
With any coat hanger.
And GPS navigation.
Actually, a Gregory's from 1978.
And this weekend only, we'll throw in bonus accessories.
A half tennis ball for the tow bar and a shoelace to keep the bonnet shut.
The Toyota Crapola. We've all driven one.
Oh, what a shitbox.
Crapola.
This is Radio Chaser on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Earlier on in the day, we were talking, because yesterday I did a kind of a long road journey, and as I was peeing by the side of the road in the country, I was wondering whether it was legal or not. I then saw somebody peeing by the side of the road in the city, and it outraged me. And it's funny because we got a call from Luke, and he had a great theory about this, I thought. His theory was that if there's street lights, you can't do it. And if there's no street lights, you can do it. Now, that's not the law. We also had a call from Eric, who specifically said he's not a lawyer. But his theory was, he said he thought there was a law that you could wee on the back tire of your car, the back left tire of your car.
Yeah.
Now, we thought, now, as much as just asking people
what
who
they
listen
reckon
to Triple M and specifically say they're not a lawyer is a good way to get legal advice, I would advise it highly. We thought we'd try and find out what the real answer is. We called the police.
We called up the police, and well, they actually said, oh, yeah, you can probably piss on the back of the tyre. But then they refused to come on air.
They refused to do it.
Apparently they've got to spend their time solving murders and things rather than answering our question about pissing in public.
Which is ridiculous. So we've got an actual lawyer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we've got a proper lawyer. Yeah. So
on the phone now.
Yeah. Anthony Jucha. Are you there?
Hello, Anthony.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like I need a disclaimer to open this piece now. But the clock's ticking, so it's all good. So.
Right. Yeah. You're charging by the second or something? God, quickly get it over.
We can clean the back wheel of your car as a favour.
So what is it? Is it legal to urinate by the side of the road in the country, or what's the story?
Well, I think everyone you've spoken to here is sort of on the right path. There is a way. I mean, in New South Wales, it's a matter of whether or not it's offensive conduct or obscene exposure. And so these are all gradients of behaviour. Mm. So peeing, you know, with no streetlight is probably less offensive than peeing under a streetlight, this sort of thing. Mm. So peeing on the left back tyre of the car is probably less offensive than the right front tyre. You know, just peeing... Like sort of as if you're paying chicken with a car, peeing on it, you know.
Okay.
Not very seemly.
So there's no specific law in New South Wales that you can pee on your back left tyre.
Why is the back left tyre so much more polite than pissing on the front right tyre?
Because you're more likely to be seen.
Well, exactly. Just imagine the imagery here. I mean, I think so if you're going to pee on your car, I think it's worth, you know, planning the approach. Take some advice, obviously, from a lawyer, not me, another lawyer, before you make your approach and think about. So if you were to pee on the left, no, say the right rear side mirror while looking in your own eyes in the mirror while you're peeing on it.
Free car wash.
Very offensive, I think.
You'd be a very unusual person. What if you stood on the left of the car and just arced a great stream of pee over the roof onto the right-hand tyre? Would that still be okay?
It's deniable by the time it's all done. You're just sort of standing there watching. You know, I don't know. Yeah, he went that way, so officer, you know.
And are there different? Is there any different legal advice, Mr. Lawyer, for women trying to pee in public?
Well, I have read this morning that in the UK it's not unlawful for a pregnant woman to pee in a policeman's helmet.
Right? Really?
So,
because that's not offensive.
You need to go.
And can I just ask? Can you do a pregnancy test after that to be sure if you've broken the law or not? Yeah. Can you use that sample?
Right. Does one have to remove the hat from the policeman first?
Well, I'm not saying it's lawful. It's not unlawful.
You would
need the police to cooperate with this situation. And if they did, you would not be in trouble.
So really, what you're basically saying is, in New South Wales, there's no specific law. It's kind of there's no clear guidance on this. So for instance, if you were to do it on the back left wheel, but in a school, it's probably going to be offensive. But whereas if you did it, if you're out in the bush, not many people around, you'd probably get away with it. This is basically...
Well, obscene exposure is worse than offensive conduct. You get 10 penalty units for that versus 6 for offensive behaviour. So
okay.
I would suggest exhaust pipe.
What? That's very funny. What I want to know, though, is can we get Craig Rucastle locked up for peeing in the country yesterday?
Probably
you have to express your offence. I'd call the police back and say how offended you were.
Very offended.
About this.
Hang on. I'm going to hop on the phone right now.
I tell you what, like every time I talk to a lawyer, I'm more confused than when I started. Thank you very much,
Anthony Jucha there with
legal. That wasn't the invoice. Thank you.
Cheers. That wasn't legal advice for you or indeed us. It's Radio Chaser on Triple M.
You loved Oztober. So in November, Triple M's bringing you another local legend 24/7.
This time it just stares you in the face.
Russell Crowe.
Crowe-vember.
It's Maximum Maximus.
At my signal.
Photograph kill.
Unleash rock.
Get ready for 30-odd days of 30-odd foot of grunts.
Crowe-vember.
He's forgotten his name.
And develop an ordinary fear of the ordinary fear of God.
Are you not entertained?
Oh, you're not. Sorry.
Because when you're one of the world's best actors, you should spend all your time
making middle-of-the-road pub rock.
Nothing going on.
Go, Russ! Go, Russ! Go back to movies, Russ!
Crowe-vember.
And mapped out the
Russell Crowe's music like you've never heard it before.
Photograph.
Because you've never heard it before.
Radio Chaser on Sydney's Triple M.